I have Robin Grace in the studio with us this morning with Shrink Wrap, a local psychotherapist. Robin Grace, it's a weekly community health program sharing insights about emotional and psychological well-being with a focus on communication and relationships. Morning, Robin.
Good morning, Sherry. I don't think I hear my mic here.
Well, let's see.
I mean, my headphones, yeah. But...
How's that?
That is... I think it's okay.
Okay.
I can hear something.
Okay.
So, today I thought that we would do some reviewing since there'll be one more shrink wrap this summer, and then we'll hopefully start again next summer, and... there'll be something in this space, some health-oriented discussion.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to talk about relational experience because I've been talking about that word relational and the word mentalization for quite some time. And relational experience is key in most emotional and psychological conflict or stress. You know, when people think, well, why does somebody have alcohol problems or depression or anxiety or, you know, any issue, there are a lot of places you can look. But the bottom line is when we're born into two adults or one adult, to a household, and the way that the adults relate directly to the infant and to one another and to others who come around is picked up by that baby.
Mm-hmm.
And when patterns develop, that baby begins to anticipate those patterns,
mm-hmm.
and then anticipate how is she going to survive it. You know, so if there's a loving environment, generally speaking, this is not about perfection 24/7, that we need to be some image of some spiritual Dalai Lama who, by the way, has said, you know, even he gets irritated and isn't perfect. But it's about the general tones that are set up, right?
Right.
And so the manner in which the adults respond, especially to needs for acknowledgement and love, has a huge influence on how that growing baby perceives the world and anticipates the world.
And processes reality.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that baby can learn to process, whoa, when I show joy in play, when I pull my mom's hair or I kick my feet, my mom, my dad, they smile and they validate me. Now, of course, that's not a cognitive way of thinking for a baby, but it's felt
mm-hmm.
and recognized and
oh.
begins to create a map of experience, if you will. Well, the opposite can happen if the people around that baby are tense. And sometimes there are things that happen when a baby is born. You know, mom can get sick, or there can be some event in the life, or maybe unresolved issues, conflicts that the parents have can unintentionally leak out into that environment. And maybe the parents are tense. And maybe their ability, their capacity to attune to that baby is influenced by that tension. And they're not showing joy. They're beginning to show impatience and irritation. Whatever happens, if it develops a pattern, it influences how that child learns how to negotiate the world. Because
mm-hmm.
they project what the rest of the world is going to be like.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, no one can develop a template for, the world is loving and safe if they're living in an environment that isn't.
Right.
Right.
Isn't that interesting? And then, so they perceive their reality, they grow up in that reality, and they probably think everybody's that way, or all families, or all relationships are this way.
They anticipate that there's mm-hmm. going to be, let's just say, more or less tension in a social situation,
mm-hmm.
depending on what it's been like
mm-hmm.
at home.
And that may not be true, right?
Well, yes,
yeah.
Right. But they can't perceive it in any other way.
Oh.
And because that's what they were sort of steeped in. Now, of course, along the way, as we grow, we have opportunities to develop more resources, and sometimes we have other influences, extended family, teachers in school, even psychotherapy or other experiences that are life-changing and are a catalyst for insight and risk-taking so that you begin to maybe develop abilities to tolerate more and to see what you're anticipating may not necessarily be what's happening. It comes from your background, but that takes mm-hmm. work and mm-hmm. courage to do the work.
Those aha moments?
Yes, those aha moments. Mm-hmm. So, relational styles, essentially, they impact security. And security is really important for navigating life. If you feel secure, then the opportunities that are in front of you are much more pleasant and exciting to take part of. If you feel insecure, those very same opportunities might be something that you might want to avoid because you might be afraid that, let's say you don't do well, you're going to get a negative reaction rather than a supportive one, for example. Mm-hmm. So insecurity can really be crippling. And it can produce feelings of defeat, even before you get involved in something, and danger. Yeah. And it discourages healthy social choices. So really, a relational style of caregivers has a major influence on the development of security. And whatever it is that you're genetically endowed with, and whatever opportunities you have, and whatever financial privileges you have, that is all influenced, your ability to use all of that, is influenced by your security level. If you're insecure and you have all the money in the world or all the opportunities before you, you're going to have a hard time taking those opportunities, feeling comfortable, and trying your best. You might retreat, you might deny that you need them. So security is key, and the way people relate to us is key in helping us be secure or insecure. Mm-hmm.
Are there any ways to help children or even our friends to be secure? Maybe just to encourage them to, you could do it.
Well, security, yes.
Try it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Security is influenced by acknowledgement of what something means for you. So let's say you have a friend or you're a teacher or an adult working with a child who wants to try something, but they look insecure. If you acknowledge what doing that thing means, like, wow, it looks like you were excited, but now you're a little uncomfortable, but it looked like something you were interested in. That's a good reason to try. You know, those mm-hmm. kinds of comments where you're assessing what is available and you're also reflecting what you see the child or adult feeling, maybe even saying, well, I can understand you not being sure, but we all start out not being sure about new ventures. Those kinds of comments can help. And that's great. And hopefully along the way, a child who comes from a family where there was a limitation and maybe too many limits on what security they could develop, mm-hmm. they will benefit by that. But it's really key for everyone to understand, and I know many people do, that supporting their child emotionally, even before they're verbal, you know, just having the attitude that I'm with a growing person who's going to need my acknowledgement. And that doesn't mean you have to be a perfect acknowledger, but that you're modeling enthusiasm and loving when that baby kicks their feet and coos, that gives them a good feeling about being in the world rather than receiving a response that's distressing. Mm-hmm. So again, the styles of relating that we experience from infancy on have an influence upon our expectations for how the world will meet us and react to us.
Amazing.
You just can't get away from that. Mm-mm. And so patterns of relational styles, you know, the ongoing tone of your home. It doesn't mm-hmm. mean that infrequent irritations that the people around you feel or moments of impatience. And, the patterns convey to us that to remain connected, to remain attached to our families, we must adjust in order to maintain that tie. So if the pattern is generally supportive, we don't have to work so hard to maintain the tie, because we kind of know that basically when we show what we're interested in or we show what we want, that the response is going to be favorable. Well, if we learn the opposite, we may have to make big adjustments. Mm-hmm. Like a child might have to say, well, you know, when my mom gets home or when my dad gets home at the end of the day, that's not the best time to start pulling out all my art projects and showing them what I'm doing, because mom or dad are making dinner or doing things. But usually after dinner, that's the time. You know, you learn, mm-hmm. a child who's secure learns to self-regulate mm-hmm. and to forestall their needs for gratification.
Mm-hmm. Timing.
Right. Because they expect that there's going to be a moment. So that, again, right. it doesn't mean a parent has to walk in the door and immediately become, you know, the perfect empath, the perfect, almost slave-driven, you know, perfect clinically perfect mm-hmm. person. In fact, there is no perfectly clinically person anyway. You know, we're just trying to understand mm-hmm. one another. Mm-hmm. But in the opposite situation, the opposite end of the spectrum, you know, when a child is hardly recognized or there's a wave of annoyance that's going on within that parent because they're stressed out or unaware for an ongoing period, well, that child can go in a number of directions when their needs for connection mm-hmm. and attention come up. And what happens is when relational styles hurt, like the style of our parents relating to us and one another, when it hurts, or adults, their relational styles between each other, when relational styles hurt, like when people are avoidant, when they respond to us with ambivalence, mm-hmm. Or when they're hostile, we learn to retreat in order to protect ourselves. Or some kids become hypervigilant and they push for more. And that's a sign of insecurity. And what happens is we go into what's called self states. So they're kind of safety zones. So when tension arises from unresolved wounds that we feel inside, of past difficult experience, when that arises and becomes active, then we rely on those old coping mechanisms that we use to survive mm-hmm. those traumatic times or those difficult times. And those coping mechanisms are withdrawal. We can be in a state of feeling numb when our needs for connection come up. Mm-hmm. Anxiety, as I said, we can become hypervigilant just to get the attention or deal with feeling overwhelmed. And I've seen a lot of this clinically. Clinicians see a lot of this in the proliferation of diagnoses like ADD mm-hmm. and OCD. So, you know, it's a very important thing to understand about our needs, both children's needs of adults and adults' needs of adults mm-hmm. from adults. And, you know, we're all genetically endowed, and barring organic disorders, a lot of disorders, a lot of diagnostic categories like anxiety and depression and even attention deficit are keenly influenced by the relational style. So even if there's a predisposition wow. to maybe being hyper or maybe being obsessive, that mm-hmm. is going to get heightened by a parenting style that exacerbates it. Like if a child is hyper and a parent immediately gets angry or tries to regulate that child instantly without trying to understand what's going on, that child can't resolve that hyperness.
Right.
Right. They're going to keep repeating it because it's a pattern. It's a pattern, and it's the only power they may have to deal with their tension. Mm. So children who, quote, act out and have learning issues, again, barring organic challenges.
Right.
Those children are struggling with fear that they are anticipating in reaction to their needs to put themselves together, to do a task, to show themselves, to write a story for a teacher. A lot of a child's productions, their opportunity to produce and do work and interact is going to be shadowed, if you will.
Well, yeah.
Right? By what they expect. Mm-hmm. And if they're not expecting a positive reaction that makes them feel secure, instantly in those experiences when the teacher says, okay, we're going to do a play next month, and I'm going to ask each of you, you're going to be a cell, you're going to be a blood vessel, this is how we're going to learn our science project. The child who's insecure may zone out, may feel like they don't have enough ability to memorize the part, may really feel anxious and regret that they're in the class. They may act up. And it's a really hard thing for those kids because mm-hmm. they're not always understood for the meaning of why they're tense, mm-hmm. why they're not obedient. So,
and they do get those labels, those slapped on them, those medical labels.
Right. And, you know, again, the, you know, diagnostic categories have their place, but mm-hmm. we really have to look beyond mm-hmm. a diagnostic category and see what are the dynamics that influence the child becoming calmer, more comfortable, and more resilient, mm-hmm. and ultimately more able to self-regulate when they are feeling stressed out. Mm-hmm. And what are those factors that further agitate that child? You know, I know for my own self as a step-parent, if I'm feeling some stress or I'm feeling tired and my stepson is in need at that point for attention, sometimes I fail at giving him the perfect response, you know, and I may say, okay, enough. Now, that's good. You need to let, you know, a child know when you don't have enough. But sometimes I see that by limiting him too quickly before validating him just heightens his need for more. And before I know it, I've got a 3-ring circus in me trying to get, not in me, maybe in me too,
right.
outside of me, trying to do everything that he possibly can to get my love, to get mm-hmm. my attention. So really the goal is not to become, like I said, a perfect empath, but to have enough awareness that you can work within yourself and then communicate that. Mm-hmm. Like, well, okay, this is hard for me because I'm tense, but, you know, I see where you're at, and that's great. Mm-hmm. But can we please have, like, no more juggling against the walls right now, you know, because mm-hmm. I need a calm moment. So that's, again, back to communication. Now, that would be a relational style, mm-hmm. right? An adult who's communicative about their abilities and about their inabilities in the moment. That helps a kid feel secure. But if you don't communicate or you don't look at your own unresolved stuff, that can become a tension. And then the child or the adult, friend, lover, husband, wife, may not know where you're coming from mm-hmm. because all they're feeling is your, so to say, vibe. Mm-hmm. And that vibe can trigger insecurity in you, and then you can start shutting down. So it can really become a domino effect.
Mm-hmm.
I also think that in a small town, especially with respect to children, that here we have the opportunity to help children develop through supportive, empathic responses, which is why I think the Big Brother program is great for kids, and it's really great for the school and parents to be on the same page, especially when a child is going through a tense period.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to really be able to talk about that and to feel like, hey, you know, it's okay. This doesn't mean my child is bizarre, if they're having an issue, if they're not doing well, if they're so-called, quote, acting out. It means we need to discover what's happening here for this child emotionally and psychologically so that we can come to what's going to comfort this child so that she can become more successful rather than labeling her and threatening her with punishment without reflecting that you understand her meaning.
Right.
So I think that's an important thing to stay aware of. Relational styles impact security, and how do we all get more secure?
Mm-hmm.
And how do we recognize when our insecurities flare up, which cause us to retreat from others and or cause us to be irritable with others? So I guess relational awareness is a very positive thing.
Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes just to say hi. Mm-hmm. We've talked about that before
mm-hmm.
on Shrink Wrap. Just to say hi,
yeah.
It goes a long way, you know, with our friends, with children just coming home. Yes, we're tired. They don't understand. But a simple hello, you know, hi.
An acknowledgement.
Yeah, like, hi, Jeremy. Yeah, just, yeah, we'll get back to it. But at least they're not ignored.
Right, right. And so the development of mm-hmm. security can occur. Mm-hmm.
And with friends, I think we should be aware. I've gone through this recently. Just, you know, sometimes I didn't say hi to a friend I saw. And in a small town, you know, you're out for or you're in town for 20 minutes and mm-hmm. there's a lot going on and you mm-hmm. didn't say hi to somebody you wished you'd said hi to. And, and they take it as a insult and you sure didn't mean it that way.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know, again, you can't be perfect because you're mm-hmm. running around, you're in town for a short time. Mm-hmm. So that's something we've talked about too here, that when you take something to mean something mm-hmm. pretty strong, like that person didn't say hi or mm-hmm. they were short with me, you need to watch that you don't interpret it without understanding mm-hmm. where that person was at.
Because if it had been 2 minutes later, it would have been hi, you know. It was, yeah, timing. A lot to be said for timing,
yeah.
Robin.
And also to not personalize what you're uncomfortable about.
Right.
And to build a case. Like, she didn't say hi. I wonder if she doesn't like me. Oh, wow. And then you get heightened, your sensitivity to who else says hi. Mm-hmm. It can really build. But that comes from seeds of insecurity, too. So if you are experiencing that, you know, there are things to do, such as we suggested, and if you're really in a knot about it, you can always go for, you know, therapeutic consultation or, you know, mm-hmm. just be aware of your tension. Go for a massage, you know, really take care to care for yourself. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well said.
All right. Well, have a good day.
Okay. That's a wrap?
Yeah, that's a wrap.
All right. Thank you, Robin Grace.
Thank you.
That was Shrink Wrap with local psychotherapist Robin Grace. Shrink Wrap is heard Monday morning, 8:45 on Soundwaves. And you can contact Robin at shrinkwrap.wrap@gmail.com.